We turn 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Last time we closed the first chapter of 1 Peter with the living and abiding word of God. This living and abiding word of God is the word through which the gospel was preached to us. And we begin the second chapter with the word of God from chapter 1. And we will look at the first three verses of chapter 2 this afternoon. It is a very short portion, but it will help us to better understand the entire letter of 1 Peter. Again, this is God's holy word. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like a newborn infant, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. We have many little ones worshipping with us in our midst. You may also recall the times when your older children were little and snuggly. What is the general routine of newborn babies? What is the general routine for them? They eat and sleep. Eat and sleep. And eat and sleep. Mothers often nurse their babies every 2 hours. Babies looking for milk seem like deer panting for streams of water in Psalm 42. Picture in your mind how much a newborn needs milk and how essential milk is for a baby's life. Milk for a baby is life-sustaining, providing needed nutrition for growth, building the immune system, and cultivating strong attachment with their mother or caregivers. The baby feels comfort and safety. In today's passage, Peter ask us to be a baby. To be a baby desiring the pure and spiritual milk. On behalf of Peter who wrote this letter, I ask you to consider our Christian life as tasting and desiring God's word. Under two headings, we will see why we are to regard the Christian life as tasting and desiring God's word. The first heading will be tasting new food and looking for that best food. And the second heading we will consider will be tasting new food and ceasing to eat rotten food. We will see the comparison between best food and rotten food. Let me begin with the story of Exodus. As part of a redemptive history, God brought the Israelites out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. If you turn in your Bible to Exodus 16, you will find them grumbling about food. Just 1 month ago, the people of Israel saw the mighty work the Lord had done for them. They crossed the Red Sea. They feared the Lord and believed in Him. But 1 month later, just 1 month later, the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained. But the Lord heard their complaints and gave them meat of quail at twilight and bread in the morning. And God spoke to them, saying, "And you shall know that I am the Lord your God." He himself proved that he is the Lord of all through delivering his people from the land of misery. And now he is reminding them by giving them provision of food. He gave the people of Israel manna and quail for 40 years. For 40 years. During the 40 years in the wilderness, the people of Israel were looking forward to land of Canaan, where there would be an abundance of milk and honey. That was their hope. They longed to reach the promised land. The reason I account for the story of the Exodus is that today's passage shares the same framework. There is a conditional phrase in verse 3. Look at verse 3 with me. "If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, if you have tasted that the Lord is good," the main clause follows in verse 2. "Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up." Again, desire the pure spiritual milk like a baby. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter solidified the foundation of salvation for the people in Asia Minor. He reminded them that they were chosen and called as God's people, that through the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, they were saved. Regeneration happened in the past. And this is true for us. We were born again in Jesus Christ, justified by faith and adopted by faith. Look at verse 3 again. "If you have tasted that the Lord is gracious," the verb taste is in the past tense in the original text. So now, in the present, we are called to desire the pure spiritual milk. As we read from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Israelites were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They crossed the Red Sea, which indicates baptism. And so too, the people in Asia Minor were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Some people, some scholars say the reason Peter frequently used the term Lord is related to their baptism. I think so too. They already knew and tasted God's grace and kindness, just as the psalmist says in Psalm 34:8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Therefore, they were called to long for the pure spiritual milk. Likewise, we who have also tasted Lord's graciousness are called to the same thing. Again, we are called to desire the pure spiritual milk like a baby. In the first epistle of Peter, there are 23 imperatives. While some biblical scholars argue that there is no central imperative in the whole book of 1 Peter, the verb desire in chapter 2:2, desire the milk, is the focal imperative of the first first section of 1 Peter, along with another imperative later on in chapter 4, rejoice in suffering. Those two imperatives in 1 Peter are such a focal imperatives. Desire and rejoice. Again, Peter asks here his recipients and us to desire the pure spiritual milk. People of God who have tasted that the Lord is grace crave the pure spiritual milk. So, what does Peter mean by pure milk? According to 1 Peter 1:23, Peter says, "You have been born again." He's talking about the rebirth of Christians in Jesus Christ. A newborn baby needs milk. This is just nature. Nature. This is the metaphor of our regeneration and Christians transforming life after conversion. It would be helpful to understand the nature of babies needing milk in order for us to grasp the meaning of this metaphor used by Peter. As I mentioned earlier, milk for a baby is life-sustaining, providing needed nutrition for growth, building the immune system and cultivating strong attachment. That's our passage. What kind of milk do we need? Yes, we need a pure spiritual milk. Let's first take a look at the meaning of pure milk. It is only here in 1 Peter 2:2 that the Greek adjective pure appears in the entire New Testament Bible. And the term denotes the absence of fraud and deceit. No fraud, no deceit. Once, my wife wanted to buy Korean chili powder. She really wanted to find 100% pure chili pepper powder produced in Korea, because chili pepper powder is very important in Korean cooking, you might know. She found and bought a package from a Korean market. When she used about half of the bag, however, found the nutrition fact sticker and found that the produce was a fake. It was sold as a product of Korea, but one that was actually manufactured and packed in another country, China. We were deceived. We need but 100% pure, no deceit, no fraud. So, what is the pure milk Peter is talking about in his letter? If you have other English versions, in other English Bible versions, you will likely see a different translation of verse 2. In the New King James Version, or King James, it says, "Desire the pure milk of the word, rather than desire the pure spiritual milk." In the original text, there is no exact word indicating the word, but two adjectives, pure and spiritual. However, the root of the word spiritual is from logos, which means the word. Therefore, it is clear in connection with the end of chapter 1 that we were saved by the word of the Lord, which is the gospel that was preached to us in verse 25. And now we are growing by this same pure word of God. And we desire and long for this pure word of God. Nothing else is needed for our growth in faith. Only the imperishable and incorruptible word of God. The word of God is only rule to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy Him. 100% pure, no deceit, no fraud. Some of the Israelites after the Exodus became idolaters. As Exodus 32:6 and 1 Corinthians 10:7 record, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And they committed sexual immorality, then finally put on God's hand of judgment, although they had tasted God's grace and were offered perfect food in the wilderness. In modern churches today, there are churches that do not hold the Bible as the perfect book God gave us. They do not believe in the inspiration or nor the inerrancy of the scriptures. God's word is pure because it comes from the Lord. God's word is pure because there is no error in its writer. It's the purest book. All the people of God should drink from this pure milk of the Lord for their life. You who have tasted the new food, look for that best food. Next, under the second heading, I want to look at what spiritual milk means along with verse 1. Taste the new food and cease from eating rotten food. This pure and spiritual milk is the work of the Spirit that we grow in our daily life. The daily milk for the baby is more related to our spiritual life by the work of Spirit. As a newborn children who has tasted God's grace and has been fed by God's word, put off the old habits of the old man and put on the new habits of a new man. Because we learn what to do and what not to do through the word of God. And the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth and another helper promised by the Lord Jesus Christ, He will teach us all things and bring to our remembrance all things that Jesus said to us in the scripture preached. The Spirit abides with us. Remember what Jesus said, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. We should think our Christian life as being led by the Holy Spirit day by day. So I want to look at verse 1 under the second heading. We are able not to do evil things by the spiritual milk and the work of the Spirit. John Calvin looked at this passage and commented that milk here is not elementary doctrine which one perpetually learns and never comes to the knowledge of the truth, but a mode of living which has the savor of the new birth When we surrender ourselves to be brought up by God, the milk is a mode of living. Milk is not just learning doctrine or biblical teaching, but more than that, it is to learn a mode of living as a follower of Jesus Christ. This is the reason I focus on verse 1 as the last point. We need to understand why we should not do those things listed in verse 1. Malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. And how we would not fall in them. Also, thinking of the flow of 1 Peter, from chapter 2, verse 11 to 4:10, dealing with the Christian life, the practice of holiness. I want to look at verse 1 as such an introduction. How are recipients to live a Christian life? Peter mentions 5 behaviors. Put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Malice is a desire to inflict pain, harm, or injury on our fellow man. Deceit is falsehood, craftiness, seduction, or treachery. The hypocritical person pretends to be what he is not. He is a man with a double heart and a lying tongue. Envy is an attitude expressed in a desire to possess what belongs to someone else. Lastly, evil speaking or slander is a ready and willing instrument to talk about our neighbor behind his back. What is in common? These 5 negative words are related to our social behavior. One pastor says they are easily identified as poison, but they are not so easily set aside. Every one of these sins is aimed at harming other people. Again, the portion from 2:11 to 4:10 gives instruction regarding our social behavior in relationship with civil government, workplace, and families. And 2:11 to 12 begin this way. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Can you see the unity of 1 Peter? As pilgrims and the chosen, we remember that we are saved by the word of the Lord, grow by the word of the Lord, and now follow the word of the Lord in our life, in all our conduct, especially living with others in this world. However, the most significant teaching we should take to heart is that we should not commit these evil things willfully, but rather eagerly turn away from them by the teaching of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He makes our hearts hate sin and pursue God's holiness. We should remember that the word of God is not only teaching us what to do and what not to do, but also promising the Holy Spirit who put the word of God into our hearts. So we are not seized by moralism, but by the sweet word of God. We are fed by the pure but spiritual milk of the word. The more we eager to drink it, the more we sustain in this world. Milk of the word for Christian could be only life-sustaining, providing needed nutrition for growth and building the immune system against non-biblical teaching. I want to close with three applications. First, dig for God's grace in God's word and your life. Dig for God's grace in God's word and your life. The first two verses of 1 Peter 2 are based on the conditional clause in verse 3. Again, if you tasted God's grace. From the first chapter of Genesis to last chapter of Revelation, we see God's grace upon us, especially regarding our salvation. You and I sit here because you have already tasted that God is gracious. You have tasted that through hearing and reading the Word of God and seeing God's grace and blessing upon your life. Congregation, keep reminding yourselves of those moments. Why does God keep reminding the Israelites in the wilderness who He is? I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Second, bring God's word into your life. Second, bring God's word into your life. We must keep growing. We must hear and read God's word diligently and earnestly. Especially to the parents in this room, let's not forget the value of family worship. Meal time is family time. Father provides food and mothers prepare the meals. But your job is not done yet. We must feed our children spiritually as well. We should express thanks to God for how we have and can read His word. This is our spiritual bread. As we eat regularly, so we as a family must read scripture and pray together regularly. We never want to give rotten food to our children. So we should give them the pure milk of God, the word of God. Third and last, put on new clothes through the word of God and show God's love in your life. Put on new clothes through the word of God and show God's love in your life. We should practice putting off our old habits and put on new habits. The garments of malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander are related to our relationship with others, as I mentioned. Over against them, Peter already gave us the new clothes we should put on for others. 1:22. Love one another fervently with a pure heart. This is, of course, more likely for people in the Church of Christ. Yet, this place is a good place to practice loving one another. Here is the first step. Then, at the same time, we begin to show our good words to our neighbors as well. Love one another with a pure heart. Imagine this. At the center of the tabernacle with the covenant ark, which points to Jesus Christ, the Israelites ate manna and meat together and longed for Canaan and land flowing with milk and honey. In the first century, newborn Christians who had tasted God's grace through Jesus Christ, who believed and were baptized in Him, broke their bread and shared wine together in the name of Christ the Lord. We also remembering God's grace that we have tasted should be eager to have pure milk for our daily spiritual life, especially with our families and brothers and sisters here, practicing the Christian life together as we look upward to the heavenly Canaan, which offers us real honey and milk, looking to that moment when we will eat and drink with our Lord Jesus Christ at the same table. People of God, taste and continually desire God's word in your life. Amen.